Masechet Chagigah Daf Chaf Aleph. We began the third perek yesterday, which gave a list of 11 ways in which Kodesh, sacrificial meat, has to be treated more stringently than Teruma. Well, various things regarding mikveh and related items. We're going to begin with the very first one and analyze the reason and compare it with a reason of the fifth item on the list. So we begin. Bakodesh Maitamala. The first item on the list was that something that is Kodesh, one may not dip it in the mikveh with one inside another. For Terumah, you can't. So for Terumah, let's say you have a large bowl and you have a smaller bowl. You can put the smaller bowl in the large bowl and dip them into the mikveh together. For Kodesh, you have to dip each one separately. Or similar like we do with silverware, we put them all in a basket at the same time. So that would be permitted. We can do it today because all of our food is chulin, but that would also be permitted regarding making something tahor enough to use for terumah, but would not be sufficient if you're planning on using that bowl or that silverware for Kodesh. Now, what's the reason why regarding Kodesh it's a problem? I might be ila. We're going to see two reasons today. This is the first of the two. It's because of gravity. The weight of the inside bowl may be sufficiently heavy that it will create a watertight seal, and so that the water may not actually enter the bottom under where the two vessels are touching. And so if it's light, yeah, that would be okay. But sometimes if it's heavy, Rishami actually gives an actual weight for how heavy it would be and need to be if it to be a problem. So for Tiruma, we assume that it's not a watertight seal. Water will get in there. But for Kodesh, we have to be extra stringent. And that's the reason, because of chatzitza, if it's too heavy. And so now here's our question. If in fact the reason here is because of chatzitza, that there's going to be a separation between the mikveh water and the item that you're dipping, well, hold on, we have a later clause in the Mishnah that is for sure because of chatzitza. And if that is the reason over there because of chatzitza, we don't need a second case. Teach us the same principle that we're more worried about chatzitza regarding Kodesh than Terumah, we would know it already. So what's that second case that comes up later on? Diketani sefa velo kimidata Kodesh midata Terumah sheba Kodesh matir umangiv umatbil v'achar kach kosher u'batrumah kosher v'achar kach matbil. So this was the fifth case that was listed above and said the level of Kodesh is not the same as Terumah. Regarding Kodesh, regarding sacrificial meat, let's say you have clothing that has a knot in it, right? I mentioned like two socks that you might be tied together so you don't lose them, or it could be maybe a sleeve of a sweater that got a knot in it. And in the case of Kodesh, you have to undo the knot and dry it out, meaning clean it from any oily substance or anything that would be a chatzitza, and only then you can do tevila, and then if you like it tied, then you can tie it again when you're done. But terumah, you can immerse it even while it's tied. What would be the problem here? The problem here is that if it's tied too tightly, then it's possible that the water will not be able to get in. It could be a watertight seal. So for Terumah, we don't worry about that. Most knots are not so tight, the water can get in. But for Kodesh, we want to go the extra mile and be super careful, just in case it may be tied too tightly. So the principle here is chatzitza. So I have this case number five that's for sure teaching me I'm more concerned about chatzitza in Kodesh more than Terumah. So what do I need? Another case. Is the first case really for the same reason? So now we say, yes, resha v'sefa mishum chatzitza. Indeed, we uphold what Rabbi Ila said, that it is because of chatzitza. And I need both cases to teach the same principle because they're a little different. In the first case of a vessel within the vessel, I might think that that's a problem, and Kodesh is no good in that case because it's heavy and the heaviness will cause it to make an airtight seal. But regarding a knot, knots don't make airtight seals. for on clothing. And so I might think that knots would be permitted in the case of Kodesh. That's why I have to, I need that case number five to teach me that. No, even knots are a problem to dip if you want to raise it to the level of tahara to eat kodesh. Okay, so just tell me the second case, the case number five, and then I'll know the stringency. Mishum de kitra be maya haduke mihadak, aval resha de maya akfuye, makfule lemana, lahavya chatzitza siricha. I might have thought, if only that case, that when a knot becomes wet, it actually tightens, right? The water enters it, and you ever try to undo a knot that's wet? It's much harder. And so in that case, I might think that I have to be stringent regarding a knot. That's why it's permitted regarding Kodesh. But if it's just a bowl utensil, so then it's not a problem. Actually, it's the opposite. When I put a bowl within a bowl and I put it into the water, the buoyancy, right, of the water will cause the bowl to be lighter. If it's light enough, it might even float. Or even if it's heavy, it'll be lighter than it was before. And so I might think that in that case, the first case, is a good reason to be lenient regarding Kodesh. So if I only had the case of a knot, I wouldn't know that I need to be strict regarding Kodesh in the case of a bowl within a bowl. And that's why we need both, even though they are in fact the same principle, siricha. Good. So all that was Rabbi Ilah. And now we're going to back up what Rabbi Ilah said from another statement that he also said. I mean, this is consistent. Rabbi Ilah letame, damar Rabbi Ilah, amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, eser ma'alot shanu kan. Well, this is already interesting. He counts 10. Now, if you actually list, you know, count the list, there are 11 things, but he's saying 10 because number one and number five are both of the same principle of chatzitza. They're just two variations of the chatzitza law that we worry more about chatzitza regarding Kodesh than regarding Tiruma. So if you just count those two as one, you know, 1A and 1B, you end up with only 10 different laws. So this by itself is shows that Rabbi Ilah is consistent. Now he happens to say something else that is interesting. Within that 10, it's split between 5 and 5. Chamesh rishonot ben kodesh, ben la kodesh, ben la chulin, shenasu al tarata kodesh. Acharonot la kodesh, aval lo lechulin, shenasu al tarata kodesh. There is actually a difference, even though they look like they're all in the same list. The first five apply it, whether you're dealing with actual sacrificial meat that you want to prepare or eat with, use those utensils to eat or prepare sacrificial meat. And those first five are more stringent in that they also apply to a person who wants to eat everything, even regular food, to the level of purity as if it were sacrificial meat, right? We saw there were people back then that would take upon themselves this high level stringency. And so if someone takes upon themselves a high level stringency, then they also cannot dip a bowl within a bowl, even for chulin. Okay, so the first five apply to that person. However, the last five, they apply only to someone who's actually going to eat sacrificial meat. They do not need to be observed by someone who is eating chulin at the level of tarat hakodesh. Okay, why? Why are the first five more stringent than the last five? My tama, chamesh kamayata de'it lehu derara de'tum'a mid'oraita. Gazru behu rabanan ben hakodesh ben hakholin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. The first five have a derara de tumad midoraita. They have a connection to impurity of Torah law. They're not all actually biblically problematic. If they were, then they wouldn't be okay for tiruma either. But they can lead to their safek. Doubt that it can come to a deoraita problem. And therefore, the rabbis came and said, even if someone is eating chulin, if the person who is eating chulin at the level of kodesh has to keep these laws too, because they're almost deoraita. They have a connection to deoraita. But the last five, batraita, deletu deratu ma'ami deoraita, they don't have any connection to a deoraita law. They're purely derabanan concerns. Gazru behura banan kodesh, la cholin shenasu al tarat kodesh, lo gazru behura banan. So because they're only the rabbanan concern and no connection to a possible doraita, issue. So that therefore the rabbis made their gezerot only for someone actually eating sacrificial meat, not for someone who is eating chulin as if it's sacrificial meat. You don't have to go to that extent. So that's the difference. If you want to look back for a minute and see the five and five, it's not easy actually to define why the first five are all have a biblical connection and the second five don't, but we can try. Rishonim discussed this at length. So the first one and the fifth one regarding chatzitza, I mean, if indeed something is very heavy or very tight and will create a watertight seal and the water doesn't get in, then yes, that would be a deoraita problem because the thing is not dipped. So it's just a question, do we worry about it or not worry about it? So it is a deoraita worry. So yes, that does make sense. Regarding the items that a utensil that has made of multiple parts that all come together, and but each part can be used separately also, like a serving bowl within a holder bowl that both can be used. So in general, this would be a problem of only a doraita problem. But if we're talking about something that is high level, like the saliva of a zav, can, if it touches one on the doraita level, will make the entire complex, right? If it touches the outer part, bowl or handle, then the whole thing does become tamet on the doraita level. So that is true. The next one is that you can't hold kodesh and something that is tamet from midras at the same time. And this is the reason here is because you may come to touch them and then one will make the other tameh. So if that happens, that would be a deoraita problem. So we're worried that it can come to a deoraita. The clothing of someone who's careful for tiruma, we have to assume that maybe he wasn't so careful and maybe a nida came and sat on it without him noticing. And that would be a deoraita problem if it happened, and that's why the person with Kodesh has to be more careful. This was number five, which is the same as before. The last five, you see that a lot of them are regarding hand tum'ah. And so hand tum'ah is only the Rabbanan, so you don't have to worry about that. This one is that Revi'i Kodesh can have a fourth degree, whereas at tum'ah have a third degree tum'ah, and that is the Rabbanan. This one, actually number six, was if two items are in a bowl together, but they're not touching each other. So that is no deoraita problem. They're not touching each other. It just happened to be in the same bowl. So that's purely the Rabbanan. And the last one is regarding dry hands. That's also a hand one. And the onen, and mechusat kippurim, the onen never became tameh. So there's no reason for him to go into a mikveh. We're just at the Rabbanan chumrah, that if it's kodesh, then because he's onen, even though he never came near the body, he should go to the mikveh. Mechusat kippurim is totally tahor. He just didn't bring his sacrifices. For kodesh, we're going to make him go to the mikveh again. But really, he doesn't have to. And so you see that the last five are purely the Rabbanan. Now you can argue some of these actually we're doing because they're the Rabbanans there because it may come to a deoraita like the first one. But these are more purely the Rabbanan, more disconnected from a biblical law. The first five, although they're not biblical problems directly, they are safek that they could be if the person wasn't careful. All right. Anyway, that is the difference between the first five and the last five. This just happened to mention that because he said we counted 10. And so once he said he counted 10, he says five and five. That's how we got into that. All right. All that is answer number one. Remember, what was the question? The question was that case number one and case number five seem to be the same. They're both about chatzitza, right? They're putting a bowl within a bowl or a knot. Would be the same. So Rabbi Ilah said, yes, in fact, case number one is because of chatzitza, that it'll create a watertight seal. And technically, they're the same reason, and that's why he counts 10. But now we have a second explanation of the first case. This is no, then you have the case of a knot,
that teaches us about chatzitza. And so the resha has to be a different reason. So what's the different reason? Resha hanu tama gezera shelo yatpil mechatin v'sinarot bekli she'en befiv kishoferet hanod. So this is a gezera. If I would permit someone to put a vessel within a vessel, like utensils in a basket or a bowl within a bowl, then they might have a bright idea to put needles inside a small item. So needles, how do you dip needles, right? They're very easy to lose. So you want to put them into something that will keep them from getting away from you. So for example, you take some needles, put them in a straw, right? A very thin item. And this would be a problem because if you dip something within a bigger vessel, but that bigger vessel has a small opening, then that small opening does not allow the water to enter sufficiently. And therefore, it's as if it's not connected to the mikveh, right? The only way you can allow a vessel within a vessel is to have a big opening. And the big opening, so you put the big vessel in, and then it's connected, the inside of the big vessel is connected with the whole mikveh. And that's why it's allowed. This case would not be allowed. Okay, what's the minimum size for an opening to allow whatever is inside to be considered part of the mikveh? And what is too small, an opening that this would have this problem? Kiditnan. Eruv mikvaot kishofere tanod ke obeyah shuvechalalata bishne espaot chozrot dimkoman. Mishnah in mikvaot explains, and this is very important even today, that if you want to join together two mikvaot, for example, one is big enough, 40 se'ah, one is less, only 30 se'ah. 30 se'ah is no good. Or one is good, you know, kosher rainwater. The other one is water that you drew from with a bucket. Pasul. Either way, you have a kosher mikveh and a non-kosher body of water. Well, here's what you could do. If you want to do an eruv, meaning you want to join them together. So what you can do is make a hole between the two baths. And if the hole is as big as the opening of a wineskin. Here's a wineskin. In those days, they would take leather from an animal and sew it up, and they would use that to carry water or wine because it's waterproof, and it would have an opening, a spout. And that spout was a standard size, and the standard size was enough to have two fingers into it, and you could turn it around without a problem. So that is considered, right, the smallest size that is typical for allowing for transferring water, transferring liquid from one thing to another. And so if it's that size or bigger, then it's okay. This is a very important law today because when we had a modern day mikvaot, we want to be able to change the water relatively frequently so that it can be clean, but it's not easy to bring rainwater all the time. And so what we do in most modern mikvaot is we have one pit that is from rainwater, kosher mikveh, and no one goes in there. Instead, we have another pit that's just tap water, drawn water, and then we have an opening and connect the two. Once they're connected, then the drawn water becomes part of the mikveh and all of it is kosher. And that way a person can go and immerse in the second pit, even though it was all tap water, because it had been connected with a hole that's at least two fingers big. So this is a very important practical law today. So the reason why we bring it here is because if I have a mikveh and I have some kind of bowl or jar or a jug, and the opening, the top of the jug is tight, or a straw, right? And that's much smaller. And I put needles inside, it's no good, right? Even if it's full of water, that opening is too small and it's considered shut off, separate water from the rest of the mikveh. And so that's why we don't allow in Kodesh, regarding Kodesh, we're not gonna allow this. A container within a container, because one might think that you can use even a container with a small hole. For Terumah, we don't have that worry. you still can't use a container with a small hole, but we're not going to worry that you can't use any container within a container. We don't go to that extent. Okay. This is also the practical that if one is today have a, you know, dipping something very heavy within something else and it creates an airtight seal, a watertight seal, that could be a problem. You got to shake it around a bit so the water can go in. Okay, and equivalent, Liz, we have an equivalent for Rava, since he has a different reason for case number one. So you see, he'll end up with 11 cases in the Mishnah, as we originally enumerated. Savala keha, d'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rava, bar Avu, Rava would agree with this statement, achat esre ma'alot shanukan. There are actually 11 differences between Kodesh and Terumah, because 1 and 5 are separate. Shesh rishonot ben haKodesh ben haChulin shenasot harat haKodesh. It's the first 6 that are more stringent because they have some deoraita aspect to them, some connection to a deoraita law, and because of that, even if someone is not eating chulin, but they took upon themselves the practice to eat everything at the level of taharat Kodesh, so they have to be stringent regarding the first 6. Achronot la Kodesh, aval lo la chulin, shenasu al taharat haKodesh. But for the last 5, we only have to be stringent if one's actually prepare sacrificial meat with those utensils. But if it's just chulin, even though he takes upon himself the stringencies of taharat haKodesh, these are only merely derabanan and have no connection to deoraita, and therefore the rabbis did not make a gezerah. They made a gezerah only for someone actually eating kodesh and not someone who is eating terumah at the level of taharat haKodesh. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen.